December the 25th. Merry Christmas, everybody. Whether it is the end of the day for you or the start of the day, it is the end for me here in Australia. So heading off to bed soon, planning on getting up at 4 a.m. to watch the Knicks and the Spurs play. But we have five games to talk about. Hey, let's do a show anyway. This is the Wednesday pre-game show. Let's go balls deep.
I'm the type to get shit done. You the type to observe. March Madness on my speakers, but today's November 23rd. Cause I'm loud in the blunt, yeah. I don't say what I want, yeah. Probably somewhere sunny and tan. Foreign women in the sun, yeah.
That's all that I need. That's all that I need. That's all that I need. Got my brothers with me. Got my brothers with me. And my mama's healthy.
Welcome to the Balls Deep podcast, brought to you by Fantasy Basketball International. I am your host, Adam King. Find me on Twitter and Blue Sky at Adam91. And we are on Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube. Please go and find us and subscribe to us. Part of the Old Man Squad. We are also there at Old Man Squad on Twitter. Five games starting very early here in Australia, starting midday, I think, in the US. As I said, hope everyone had a really nice Christmas. Or if you are waking up or about to wake up, hopefully you have a nice day. It was very hot here today. Didn't do too much, just hung around, had lots of food, watched National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation, as we every year. Opened up my Lego. At this point, I think when you're this age, you know what your presents are anyway, don't you? Mine are always Lego or shoes or movies, pretty much. And I got some of all of that. So it was a good day. But looking forward to some basketball. Tomorrow, we do have five games. As I said, the first game, perfect slate for watching basketball, by the way. They don't overlap. Well, unless there's overtime. But the games don't overlap. So you basically just put it on, watch it for... what is it, 11 hours, something like that? No, 13 hours? Sounds about right. I don't know. Anyway, it's a lot of basketball. There is also a lot of cricket here on in Australia tomorrow. I think it starts about 9 a.m., finishes about 1 a.m. the next day. It's a lot. A lot of sport. Very good. I love it. First game, Spurs at New York. For the Spurs, relatively healthy. So we don't, it's actually good to see most of the big names are playing this year on Christmas Day, which is not always the case. So it certainly makes the games a little bit more exciting. But it does mean that that streaming is a little bit harder. But with only five games, there's going to be some value. Julian Champagne, someone to consider. I know he is coming off the bench, but Harrison Barnes just looks worse and worse every week. I don't think they start Champagne. I just think they like Barnes in the starting lineup. But Champagne played 28, 29 minutes in the last game. If he can hit that mark again, I think he's worth a look. Steph Castle was pretty good in that last game as well. But the minutes, to me, don't scream streaming value. For the Knicks, we know that when they're healthy, there's very little in the way of streaming. We're looking at McBride, maybe, Precious, maybe, and Payne, maybe. That's probably the order I would have them in. Payne got hot in that last game, but hasn't really been doing much beyond that. Minnesota at Dallas. As I said, most of the big names healthy here. The only guy or only superstar level player that is under some or in some doubt is Luka Doncic, but I would hope that this probable tag is just being precautionary given he was coming off a three or four game absence. No word that there's a flare up or anything like that. For the Wolves, Mike Conley was a little bit better in that last game. Hopefully he can build on that. These two teams obviously have a history, so I'm hoping, despite the fact that the Wolves have been pretty bad this year, they can bring it tomorrow and play a competitive game. I'm really looking forward to this one. Jaden McDaniels has cooled off, as we expected. Dante DiVincenzo, yet to hit any great heights. We don't really need to be considering him. Five games, maybe, if you're desperate, you could look at him. For Dallas, Klay Thompson, I'm assuming he's just rostered everywhere, so we don't need to talk about him or really anyone in this starting five. Dan Gafford outplayed Derek Lively in that last game. I do think it was just a matchup blowout kind of thing, so I wouldn't be reading too much into that. I still think Lively is going to be close to 30 minutes when it's a close game. But Gafford, if he was dropped, he certainly has streaming appeal if you need rebounds and blocks. Naji Marshall, he does a little bit of everything. He had a really nice run there offensively, but has since cooled down. He also had an illness, which cost him a few games. Maybe there was an injury there. But anyway, he's pretty borderline, as is Quentin Grimes and Spencer Dinwiddie. When Luka and Kyrie are healthy, they're going to find it hard to play enough to have value. Philly at Boston, another good game, and great that we've actually got full strength teams, assuming the Boston guys are healthy. We'll start with Philadelphia. Joel Embiid will play. That's the first bit of good news. He was ejected in that last game, but yeah, no indication that there was a suspension or there is one, so he should be fine. Paul George, Tyrese Maxey also both cleared to play. So we're running with a healthy Philadelphia, largely healthy. Andre Drummond, he hurt his toe in the last game, only played about 7 minutes. He is questionable. If he is out, we look at Gershon Yabusele. He had 17 points, I think, in that last game. This is actually a matchup where he could play minutes. I know Horford is... So he's, I don't know if he's considered as more of a traditional center nowadays, but obviously he doesn't have the speed and mobility that he once had, which works in Yabusele's favor. Not really looking at Kyle Lowry here. KJ Martin's going to be out for a couple of weeks or reevaluated in a couple of weeks. He's had a stress reaction in his leg, I believe. That doesn't really help anyone. Caleb Martin would be the one if you just need some defensive stats. Much like his brother, they both do just enough to be considered. And maybe Kelly Oubre can turn things around after a couple of subpar performances. For the Celtics, Derek White, Drew Holiday and Jason Tatum all questionable. Tatum was out with an illness in the last game. Hopefully he's through that. Hopefully Boston are just fully healthy here. Derek White has a hamstring. Drew Holiday has a shoulder. So both, I don't know. I mean, they're obviously on the injury report for a reason. And we will find out more. It's going to be tough because the games tip off so early tomorrow. We may not know whether they're active until, I don't know, an hour before tip, but even then it's far too late to lock lineups. In terms of streaming, you can certainly shuffle existing players on your roster around, but you won't be able to stream in a Sam Hauser, for example, if we get word that Derek White and Drew Holiday are out, which you would do if we knew that before midday. Chances are we don't. So Sam Hauser, someone to look at if those guys are out. Peyton Pritchard will also just have to do a lot more in that situation. The Lakers and the Warriors. Lakers have Anthony Davis, LeBron James on the injury report, as always. D'Angelo Russell also on the injury report. This is a relatively new one for him. It's a thumb, I believe. Yes, it is a thumb. Obviously, if LeBron and Anthony Davis don't play, there's a ton of streaming value. But again, based on what we've seen in the last month, they're not going to announce whether these guys are healthy or available until, I don't know, an hour, half hour before tip, which is far too late, again, for streaming purposes. So you would really be taking a flyer here with the Lakers. Max Christie has been playing decent minutes. He played 33 in the last game, looked good. I like him in deeper leagues. Not quite there for standards. I don't think he would be a real big flyer if you wanted to take one. Gabe Vincent, he might be forced into big minutes here, but typically he doesn't produce in those minutes anyway, so I'm not that interested in Gabe Vincent. And maybe we get a Dalton Connect renaissance. I don't know what the word is. We might get a Dalton Connect performance worth looking at. We haven't seen one for quite a while. For the Warriors, again, healthy. Gary Payton, questionable, but that doesn't really impact much here. Steph Curry has been fairly bad by his standards. So big stage tomorrow, nationally televised game, Christmas Day. Wouldn't be surprised to see him bounce back and have a big game. Dennis Schroeder has been, I will say, bad since coming to the Warriors. But he is playing meaningful minutes. So if you have held him, hold him for one more game, see what we get out of him tomorrow. Trayce Jackson-Davis is someone I would certainly take a flyer on tomorrow. He started the last couple of games. He clearly looks like their best center option. So if Steve Kerr agrees, then TJD could be in for a good run the next few weeks at least. And then we've got Kuminga, Pajemski, Heald, Moody, Kyle Anderson, all these guys on the bench. And any of them could really get 25 minutes on any given night. So hard to know. Kuminga, I guess, is probably at the top of that list just because he does seem to be playing the most minutes at the moment. Denver at Phoenix, last game of the night. Jamal Murray, questionable for this one, with an ankle sprain. If he is out, Westbrook will probably move into the starting lineup. That's what we've seen them do previously. Westbrook's probably worth holding even if Murray is available. He's been playing well. If Murray is out, Strouther will see a little bit more, but hasn't been doing a ton. It's really just a lot more of Nikola Jokic, Michael Porter, Russell Westbrook. We don't seem to get a lot more from the bench unit when Murray is out. For the Suns, they are still without Devin Booker for a few games, Grayson Allen for a few games. Royce O'Neal is available, so he is obviously a very good streaming candidate for tomorrow. Outside of that, there are some Nurkic trade rumors floating around. Not that that impacts anything tomorrow. I've seen his name in there. Something to keep an eye on moving forward. Streaming for tomorrow, it's Royce O'Neal. It would be Grayson Allen, but he's not playing. Monty Morris will have to play some point guard minutes, but we know that he is a very underwhelming per-minute producer, let's put it that way. So I don't really think we need to be considering him for tomorrow. Okay, we've got a couple of people watching. I didn't know if anyone had watched this show, to be honest, given it's 9 p.m. here, 5 a.m. in the States. In a 14-team category league, who would I add, TJD or Noah Clowney? That's a good question. I might go TJD, I think. Clowney, if we're looking like beyond January, February, I think it would be Clowney. Like if you ask me this question in 3 months, Clowney. For right now, I know Clowney's been playing big minutes, but Finney Smith has been out. Claxton got ejected in a game. So there have been reasons for that. I do think once Finney Smith is back, he goes back to an 18-minute role, 20-minute role. It's not what we want, but I think it's what we'll get. TJD, as I said, I think he seems to have found his groove the last couple of games. He's playing good minutes. I wouldn't say starter level minutes, but 23 to 25 is probably enough for him. So I'd probably go TJD, I think. Thinking about trading Claxton or trading for Claxton in Dynasty now when his value is super low. How do you deal with such a bad free throw if your team isn't punting free throws? Well, it's tough. I mean, obviously you have to, if you've got someone like a Claxton in your team, his value is very low. So now is a good time to be looking at trading for him. He's not, I don't think he's overly high volume. That's something you have to look at when you have a look at people with bad percentages, is have a look at the impact. So it's not necessarily the percentage that you want to look at. If you're looking in basketball monster at rankings and things like that, have a look at the impact. So the green-red column, just to have a look at the impact, that will sort of tell you. So obviously his free throws are his worst category. Yeah, worst category. 50%. He only gets there 2 per game. So I guess, look, if you're looking at someone like a Claxton who shoots 50% on 2 shot attempts, that's 1 of 2. If you can have a Jordan Poole or someone on your team who shoots 85% on 8 attempts or 6 attempts, you can balance it out. It is doable. Giannis is a very good example of when that is tough because he is so high volume as well. Claxton is not. So I think it's doable. I think you can build around him, especially in a dynasty. I think it would be slightly easier to actually not have to punt free throws with Claxton on your team. I do see your Lego question, and I will get to that in a minute, but I've got a question from Alex Strong first. Overstocked with centers. Is that possible? Can you be overstocked with centers? JJJ, Zubats, Hartenstein, Mark Williams, Chet on IR, wanting to trade when or before Chet comes back. Who's the best to move off in a points league? Oh, ESPN, you can only have 4 centers. Yeah, well, that's another reason not to play ESPN. Who would be best to move off? Look, I mean, I guess if you're looking at selling high on someone, if you did want to move off someone, which I'm assuming, look, I mean, Chet's a long way off. So honestly, he might not be back till the All-Star break. The way the Thunder are going, they have absolutely no reason to rush him back. As long as they can get him back, I think, 2 to 3 weeks before the end of the season, and the end of the season is mid-April, I want to say, usually. He may not be back till mid-March, early March. So you may still have 2 months, 2.5 months of no Chet. I could be wrong. Of course, he could come back in end of January, I think would be best case scenario. So I wouldn't be planning too far ahead here. If you were trying to get ahead of this and move off one of these guys in terms of who could I sell high on at the moment, it's not Mark Williams. Actually, Mark Williams is a really interesting one because I think production-wise, he's obviously not a sell high. He's playing 19 minutes. He's getting, 12 and 8 with a block or something. That is not... No, they're not numbers that people are going to get all excited about and drool about and go, yeah, I need Mark Williams. But you could certainly sell or build a case for him being a sell high because you could say, look how good he is playing 19 minutes. When he gets back to 28 minutes, he's going to be, I don't know, 17 and 12 with 2 blocks and doing all this stuff. And that could be true. But we also know that he may not get to that. He may not play back-to-back for the rest of the season, and he could get injured again. So there's a lot of caution when it comes to Mark Williams. So he would be an intriguing one. I think if you could move him for a top 50 or a top 60 player, if you could sort of sell him, build him up as this guy that is going to hit his peak in a month and you have to have him on your team. And then you've got the other guys who I think Zubats, I don't think you could sell high on him. I think people just think Zubats is who he is. Hartenstein is potentially a sell high as well because when Chet comes back, obviously Hartenstein takes a hit. JJJ has been good. I did expect him to be better this season because just getting players around him tends to help. He had his best year 2 years ago when they were healthy, so I'm not surprised that he is playing really well this season. So it's a tricky one. I think you could potentially move all of these guys as sell highs. Zubats would be the hardest, I think. Mark Williams is an interesting one. Hartenstein has direct correlation with Chet. And JJJ probably isn't your traditional center in terms of rebounds and field goal percentage here. So he is the odd one out in terms of stats, I suppose. He's more threes. He gets the blocks, but he's not elite in some of those other categories like the other three. So who is best to move off? in a points league, Mark Williams would be the obvious one because he is churning through or putting out the least amount of points at the moment. But I think you can make a case for all of them. Oh, hang on. Sorry, there was a second part to that question. Will Kawhi coming back impact Zoo's production? Oh, yeah, look, it might. But as I said, I think Zubats is the hardest to move, partly for that reason, partly just because he's Ivica Zubats and people just consider him this top 80, top 100 player with very little upside. Kawhi coming back obviously won't impact his rebounding too much. Offense, yes. But I do think that, I mean, they're playing well, and I think Harden and Zubats have formed a really nice combination. I don't think they're going to move away from that too much. So I think it'll actually be your Derek Jones, your Chris Dunn, those guys that take a bigger hit. Zubats probably a little one, but not too much. Is Herb for Harris in a nine cap crazy if I need the stocks? Harris, I'm assuming you mean Tobias Harris. Is Herb for Harris? No, I don't think so. I think Harris probably finishes slightly above Herb in terms of overall rank, and he can get you a little bit more in, or Kenny. I don't know. Harris has been pretty bad. I'm okay with that. I think Herb is going to play 35 minutes a night moving forward. He's elite defensively. He hits threes. Doesn't really hurt your percentages. Harris, in theory, should give you more in points, assists. That might be it. Rebounds, maybe rebounds, but yeah, I think that's okay. I certainly don't think it's crazy. All right, let's get back to this question before I get out of here and try and get some sleep before the 4 a.m. game. What is my favorite Lego theme? Ooh, yeah, it's a tough question. I would probably say... I have so much. It's probably Lord of the Rings. I think I have a lot of Batman Lego as well. What else? I'm just trying to think what I've got down in my Lego room. I've got all the Simpsons Lego. There's new Simpsons Lego coming out next year, so that's exciting. Honestly, I could do a whole podcast about Lego. Yeah, I like, actually, if I, maybe the ideas theme. I like the Lego ideas theme because they come out with all sorts of things and they are leaning a lot more into adult Lego collectors, which I like. So I got the Nightmare Before Christmas set, the Seinfeld set, the Office set, what other ideas? Home Alone set. So they've had a lot of good Lego ideas sets over the last few years, but if it was a specific theme, it's probably Lord of the Rings. And there are two more Lord of the Rings sets coming out. And you like the Lord of the Rings set. Do I own the old sets? I own some of them. They're very expensive now, as you would know. So I do have the Tower of Orthanc, the original tower, which there are rumors that there might be a remake of that coming out at some point. Not this year, I don't think. So I do have that. I have the, what's the other one? I've got the spider. I've got the Helm's Deep battle, I think. And I've got another one. I think maybe they're the, I got into Lego just after those sets. And as you know, they're stupidly priced now. So I have all the new ones. I have the Barad-dûr and I have the Rivendell, and I will get Bag End next year. And I think there's a second set. I can't think what it is, but yes, I do have the Lord of the Rings. And if you do have the Lord, sorry for anyone that doesn't like Lego, I've gone way off track here. Yes, I do have, I do have Rivendell Barad-dûr. If you are into Lego and considering the light kits, so this was a, conundrum for me for a long time is, do I want to get a light kit to light up my Lego? Because they are expensive. Not as expensive as the Lego itself, but they're not cheap. I was at a Lego expo thing that they have here in Canberra where I live. I was actually working there for my my day job, which was good. So I was there for the day and wandering around. And I ended up, I decided, okay, look, I'm going to get a light kit. And I got the light kit for Barad-dûr, which for people that know maybe Lord of the Rings, not the Lego or super familiar, it's the big tower with the eye on the top. And I got the light kit and it looks pretty phenomenal in the dark. It lights up the eye quite well and the whole castle lights up and it flickers like there are flames. So there's a pretty good chance I'll get the one for Rivendell as well. Your favorite set is the Christmas X-Wing. I don't get any of the Star Wars Lego. I do like the Star Wars Lego, but there is so much of it. And if I went down that path, I might never come out. I used to collect all of the modulars as well, the buildings. I had about 12 of them. But, for starters, I had nowhere to display them because they are... you line them all up and each one of them is, 30 centimetres or something. You get to 10 of them, it's 3 metres. I just don't have a 3-metre shelf in my house. So I ended up selling all of those. And I just like getting specific sets now. Like I've got a lot of the Nintendo sets. I've got the Titanic. So just when a big set comes out that I like, I go and get it. But in terms of, sets, Lord of the Rings, I do like to just get whatever's coming out for Lord of the Rings. And I've got the new Batmobile out there to build. That's what I got for Christmas. Yes, Star Wars. There are a lot of them. And I do like that I'm going on way too long here. I like that they're redoing a lot of the old castle sets. So I've got a few of the newer versions of the old castle sets. And also, yes, I have the D&D set as well. You put that in there. I got the D&D set. I just pulled it apart, actually, on the weekend to make room for some new sets. And I like that they're redoing the old space themes as well. So I got I can't even think what it was called, the blue and yellow old spaceship. And then there's a Blacktron Lego space set coming out on the 4th of January. So I'll be getting that one as well. Anyway, let's get off Lego. This is a fantasy basketball podcast, so I apologize to everyone. Those who were listening and those who were tuning in, thank you. Appreciate it. As I said, given it's Christmas, I'm surprised that anyone was here. Enjoy your Christmas. Enjoy the NBA tomorrow, wherever you are around the world. I will be back with a post-game show tomorrow. Yeah, I should be. Yep. Yes, I do love the Lion's Castle. One more Lego question. I will be back with a post-game show tomorrow. I'm Adam King. This has been the Balls Deep pre-game show. Until next time, and Merry Christmas. Catch up.
You just listened to another episode from the Fantasy Basketball International Podcast Network. Thanks for joining us. And for more information about joining our community, please check out our website at fbibasketball.com.